Time to delve into the world of food and science and all that fun stuff. And today, even a humble cup of coffee with Professor Claire Collins. Good morning, Claire. You've got some nice news for those who love their morning brew, haven't you, today?
Absolutely. Coffee's back in the good news stories again.
It's one of those foods where it just is good and it's bad, it's good and bad. But look, why has it been deemed fantastic for us this time around?
Well, there's two new studies being talked about. One was a study that said for people with heart failure and stroke, there was a lower risk amongst the coffee drinkers compared to the non-coffee drinkers. Now, first up, we've got to say, in these observational studies that take a big population, hundreds of thousands of people, and follow them up to see what they get sick and die from, that's just an observation. So it's not like a trial. So we've got to remember there could be other reasons for explaining it. But heart failure is when the heart is just not able to pump blood around the body, and stroke can either be caused by a blockage in a blood vessel in the brain or the blood vessels bursting. So this is actually good news.
So there are there thoughts that coffee, among other things, may be able to help in alleviating some of those things from happening?
Well, that new study that came out last week, and then this other one, which is called an umbrella study, they did a helicopter flyover. Every research study ever been done looking at coffee, they found 200-plus meta-analyses, so amazing statistical evaluations on the relationship across all diseases. And what's really interesting is that up until last week, we were saying that if you're a smoker, you shouldn't drink coffee or only drink decaffeinated because of the increased risk of lung cancer, the association. But what they've said is when they adjust statistically for smoking status correctly, that relationship is not there. So what they're suggesting is that even if you're a smoker, drinking coffee provides some benefit. And up until then, we'd said, if you're a smoker, it may increase your risk of lung cancer, so only drink decaffeinated. But this big review is still coming out and saying that for the one exception is still people who get an acute rise in blood pressure or pregnant women, where there was an increased risk of stillbirth, premature birth and miscarriage.
As always, making sure we factor in all the other things that could be going on in the
background.
Yeah,
so what's interesting about coffee is that, why might coffee be so protective? Well, it's full of bioactive compounds, phytonutrients, K-Wol, cafestrol, caffeic acid, chlorogenic acid. Now, if you're not a coffee drinker like you, Mark...
Yeah, I just don't. I love the smell, hate the taste. Yeah, so we're in a bit of trouble, yeah?
Yeah, I think we've worked out you might be a super taster, so super sensitive to bitter compounds.
That's my superpower.
But all of those bioactive components, do you know they're also found in a whole range of spices and herbs? So it just means you've got to spend more time cooking up a storm in the kitchen and getting into the spice cabinet.
Well, I don't mind herbs and spices. I put a lot of that down, so I might be okay there.
Yeah, and the other reason that you can't ignore that about coffee drinking is that it's very social. So there may be some other what we call residual confounding as to why coffee appears to be so good for your health for the majority of people. And if you think about it, how people drink coffee in Australia, a lot of it is, let's go for a walk to the coffee shop or let's meet friends. So that's a really positive aspect as well, the social aspect. But this is one food, coffee, drinking coffee, where the evidence has actually changed over the years. So if people are telling you coffee's in the bad books and you're not pregnant and you don't have high blood pressure, then you can actually say, well, I've heard otherwise, right here on to where you are.
So maybe I should try and take it up, perhaps. Give it a go.
I think you should. And if you find the stimulatory component of the caffeine problem, the benefits are there for decaffeinated because they have those bioactive components. And the other interesting thing was, it seems like the maximum benefit is around 3 to 4 cups per day. So even if you're having one caffeinated to kickstart you in the morning, switching to decaf later in the day. There was one other exception, and that was older women who seemed to have more fractures. So the advice for them would be to have some of your coffee as like a skim flat white or a skim latte.
And one last question for you, Claire. You've got your coffee with us at the moment. Yeah. What's usually inside the cup for you? What's your favourite?
It's a skim flat white. And people go, I thought you were allowed to have ordinary fat milk. Well, it's half the calories. It means I've only got to walk back and cross the campus a few times rather than a dozen times.
Or you can have two. Or you can have two cups.
Good point. Two cups, and then I'm halfway to that 3 to 4. Oh, you're... Brilliant. I knew there was a reason I came over to chat
thinking,
to you today.
Up there for thinking. Alrighty, coffee is good for us once again because Professor Claire Collins just told us so too in URFM 103.7.